This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Someone texted in. You take the music down, Ben. Does Dallas now regret the Doncic trade? I was thinking about that last night watching Trae Young. And for those who don't know, in the draft a few years ago, whatever year Doncic and Trae Young both came into the league, Dallas and Atlanta flip-flopped spots in the draft. Dallas moved up to 3 to take Doncic. Atlanta moved back to 5 because they knew Trae Young was their guy and he was going to be there. I don't know that either team regrets it. If you're asking me who I'd rather have on my team right now, even though Trae Young has made it deeper into the postseason, even though Trae Young might end up leading his team to the NBA Finals, I think I'd still rather have Doncic. I think Doncic is a guy who I feel like, if you're asking me who's going to be a perennial MVP candidate year in, year out, I'd take Doncic over Trae Young.
The reason the Mavericks are not still in the playoffs, the reason is not Doncic.
No.
The reasons, Doncic wanting to be out of Dallas, all those reasons are the same reasons Dallas is also not in the playoffs right now.
Right.
Doncic wanting to be out of Dallas is going to end up, that's going to be a larger and larger story as soon as these playoffs are over.
I hope so. Fun. I hope so. Yeah, I feel like
Doncic loving you. I mean, we need to figure out ways to see if Doncic has ever said anything nice about the city of Houston. And just everybody start searching tweets or fabricate one of your own. Come up with a fake Doncic account or something.
Yes. Yeah,
picture of, you know, like something about, come up with a fake Doncic account and tweet something about the Breakfast Club. They're like, how awesome the Breakfast Club is or something like that.
Yeah, take JJ's list of restaurants in Houston and put it on a Doncic, fake Doncic account. Yeah, do that. I had a Mavericks writer on my national show on Sunday, and we went into a deep dive on the Doncic vulgaris Cuban dynamic, that whole thing. And as I'm listening to her lay it out, I'm going, this feels like a Mad Lib of the Texans from the last 6 months. You know what I mean? Like where with vulgaris playing the role of Jack Easterby, with Mark Cuban playing the role of Cal McNair, with Donnie Nelson and Rick Carlisle playing the roles of, you know, Jamie Roots and Bill O'Brien, and with Doncic, especially with Doncic and Deshaun Watson, you know, as they're talking about Doncic signing his long-term contract and it's a fait accompli, he's still going to sign it, blah, blah, blah. And she's just saying some things, and I'm going, this is literally the exact same segments that we've been doing over the last 6 months with the Texans. It was wild. It was crazy.
Man. Yeah, there's and remember, the Mavericks have been kind of a mess for a couple of years now. They had that whole front office sexual harassment scandal.
Yeah, that the Texans don't have. I will point that out.
Yeah, like
that,
yeah, no, but I'm saying, but like as far as dysfunction and whatnot. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of dysfunction up there, including the remember Mark Cuban didn't know exactly one of Mark Cuban's favorite guys seemed to be one of the worst people alive up there in the front office, and he wouldn't do anything about it. It's not a model franchise by any respects.
No.
It's a horrible place up there, Dallas.
No.
Dallas, which I like prefer to call Southern Indiana, you got to be careful when you're going up there, kids. Just, I would say steer clear of Dallas.
Did you just call Dallas Southern Indiana?
Yeah, a lot of people say Southern Oklahoma, which frankly doesn't really do. It's really more of an insult to Oklahoma, obviously.
Mm.
So I would say Southern Indiana.
Southern Indiana. Okay. And we know how you feel about Indiana.
Yeah, exactly.
And Tennessee.
It's almost like Dallas is like the place where Indianans send their most loathsome characters.
Right.
It's like the Australia of Indiana.
Right.
You know, like where Britain sent all its lowly sorts to Australia.
Yeah.
Indiana sends the worst among them. And they're already pretty bad to begin with, to Dallas.
And just give them some hair product and better clothes, right? Yeah. That's
well,
a little
better.
More cosmopolitan.
I mean, I don't know. Do you like turquoise jewelry and stuff or whatever the hell? Yeah, that's all that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think generally speaking, Dallas people are just better dressed than people in Indiana. But other than that, they're the exact same
If you
people.
Like tacky, I suppose, yeah. Sure. Yeah. I mean, just because you spend
Except
more
I'm comparing
money
them
it.
To Indiana. I'm not comparing them to the front of some catalog or something like that.
Well, they're wearing like a T-shirt instead of just shirtless under coveralls.
Precisely.
Like they are in
yeah,
Indiana.
Exactly. Yeah, better. Okay. Yeah. Right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Do you think, and we were just talking about the bubble, do you think that this has been such a weird playoff and all the injuries and everything, do you think that people are going to look back at the playoffs from the bubble playoffs, this playoff because everybody's injured? Are people going to look back at these playoffs, these championships differently than the other ones? Like when we get to parsing out like somebody's going to win their first title this year. You know what I mean? Giannis or CP3 or Trae Young or Paul George. Like one of those four guys is going to win a championship. You know, and LeBron won his fourth one last year in the bubble. Are people going to look back at these titles any differently, or are they just going to look the same to people, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, do you think?
I think they look the same for the most part, other than, I mean, when you talk, go back over baseball and look at strike shortened season or any other. I don't think people
that's true.
Think too much about it, too hard, further on down the line. Same with the NFL. Who won the Super Bowl? Did the Redskins win the Super Bowl back in the 83 strike?
The strike shortened. Yeah, the year that was 9 games?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. People bring up the Redskins season. They won the Super Bowl that year. Was it that year or was it the year before? I can't remember. Either way.
The important thing is you don't remember.
I don't remember.
Like
if somebody
were to say, like, you know, when we remember, you don't say, like, oh, yeah, but it was a strike shortened season.
Yeah, no, you're making my point right now that I can't remember. And I usually have pretty good recall on this stuff. All I remember from the Redskins winning the Super Bowl is John Riggins running over somebody on 4th-and-1 in that Super Bowl. That's that, you know what I mean? And the Riggins running for 8 billion yards against the Dolphins that year.
That'll be, if the Tennessee Titans ever win the Super Bowl, it will be with Derrick Henry, like doing a John Riggins type effort.
Yep.
Where he runs the ball 20 times, 25 times a game, every game in the playoffs.
Yep, yep. Seth, I put a poll up for the conversation you and I were having earlier in the show about which general manager job you would want. I put it up this way. If you weren't listening earlier, Seth and I were hashing out which of the three general manager's jobs here in town we would want, Texans, Rockets, or Astros. And I phrased it this way, taking everything into account, resources, you know, draft picks, financial resources, roster, job security, credit you'll get for success, salary. All those things, all the things you take into account if you were actually campaigning for a job like this. What Houston GM job would you most want? You and I both agreed that we would want the Texans GM job just because of the challenge of it and the job security. What do you think the people are saying right now?
I think the people, that's an interesting one, because if they hear us talk about it for like 3 or 4 minutes and lay it all out, I think most people would agree that they would want the challenge of being Nick Caserio. But if you just asked me in Twitter form, and I gave just a quick thumb jerk reaction,
right,
I would say I'd rather be James Click.
64% of the people agree with you. 64% of the people say they would want the Astros. You know that stands to reason.
Okay, well they don't agree with. Yeah.
I'm sorry. You're correct in your assessment of the people. How's that?
Yes.
So 64% of the people say they would want the Astros job. And I think that's indicative of the microwave instant gratification, 24-hour attention span world that we live in these days.
You damn kids.
You
as I act like, yeah.
Get off my lawn.
One of the important things when you have some kind of take like that is that you have to also not be all that impressive a worker yourself. You have to, like, back in my day, we used to talk about working really hard.
Right.
And
yet
I still wasn't all that hard a worker. But we talked about it a lot.
You sure did. Yeah. Texans and Rockets tied at 18% right now. So Texans and Rockets. Texans and Rockets, 18% of the people say they would want to be the GM of those teams. 64%. Astros.
You know, the thing about being a general manager in basketball that I would not like is that it's just too much riding on any one particular player.
Yeah.
Which ultimately comes down to a whole lot of luck. I feel like baseball is the sport where it involves the least bit of luck in building a winner. Over time, now you need years to do it, but there's just so many numbers that if you're doing the right thing, it compounds. You know, in football is similar to that because there's so many players that over time doing the right things over and over again, that all compounds. But the problem in football is you absolutely 100%, you know, almost 100% of the time you got to have a quarterback to do anything. And that's a little bit of luck whether you land your right quarterback or not. Baseball, you don't need to have a Cy Young Award winner, or you don't need to have the best hitter in baseball to win a World Series.
Yeah, in a weird way, Seth, in a weird way, Rafael Stone's job security might have been improved by landing the 18th pick instead of the second pick. You know what I mean? Because we don't know we don't know much about Tillman Fertitta's tolerance for this level of failure with his team. We just don't. This is the first year that they've been bad on his watch as owner. And if you screw up, if the second pick, if it becomes evident right away, like, oh God, they messed this up. Wow. We don't know. Is this an owner who sees that as a hanging offense? You know what I mean? Like screwing up the second pick? Or if you had the 18th pick, do you look at it and go, okay, well, there are reasons why he hasn't been able to rebuild. He's strapped with John Wall's contract, and we haven't had a lottery pick yet. We're picking in the teens and the 20s right now.
Right. I don't think you can have one botched second number two overall pick as your guy, especially because, and Rafael Stone talked about this the other day, it's more so than ever, you're dealing with extremely young men, you know, and right. When it comes to trying to project, are they going to have the NBA style work ethic? Because all these kids coming out of high school or college have reports about, oh yeah, they work real hard and they hustle and all this, but it's different when it comes to actually having a professional athlete's work ethic.
Yep.
and doing what's required and demanded of you. You just don't know until they get up there. And are they going to have the maturity and the mental toughness and all that? You just don't know. So, yeah, one busted pick shouldn't be the death of you. But when it starts to be two or three, then obviously that's a different deal.
If Nick Caserio were to give out one contract extension before the season started, I've got my pick. Who would you pick? That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
All right, so Rivers McCown, who does some nice work blogging about the Texans and football in general, put up a poll a few days back. The Texans drafted these players in 2018. Who would you most want to negotiate, or want Nick Caserio to negotiate a contract extension with before the season starts? I don't think it's a big surprise that Justin Reed won this one in a landslide. 66%. Say Justin Reed. They only have two other guys on the roster right now from the 2018 draft class after they cut Duke Ejiofor. Jordan Akins got a couple percent of the vote. Kiki QT got a little over 4% of the vote. I think it's interesting, Seth, that 27.5% of the people say none, results only, please.
Yeah.
We don't want to give out an extension. I would like to see them give an extension at the right price to Justin Reed before the season starts. I think you'd be catching him, and I don't know if it makes sense for Justin Reed to do this. My guess is Justin Reed would bet on himself and think that he's going to be more like the 2018-2019 version than take a deal, especially with a team where you kind of don't know what direction this whole thing's going right now. But if they got Justin Reed on the right price, that would be one where I'd feel a little bit better. They start to get some foundational guys built in.
Yeah, I don't know, Sean. I worry you might be suffering from a problem that plagues fans of disappointing teams, which is you've lowered your bar too much.
I have.
Yeah, Justin Reed can be a good, solid player. And he's had that. He's had stretches of time where he looks like a good, solid safety. But athletically, in terms of playmaking ability, in terms of all of those things, he's not a guy you should be looking at as, oh, yeah, based on his play, you got to have this guy. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's just – he's not a Minkah Fitzpatrick. He's not a Harrison Smith type guy, or a younger Harrison Smith, or a Justin Simmons, or even a Kareem Jackson, a converted Kareem Jackson. So until I see that, if I see that in the middle of this season, then maybe give him an extension mid-season. But he hasn't earned that designation in my mind yet, to where you say you have to sign him up, unless he gets, like you said, unless it's a good deal. I mean, he's a good, solid NFL player when he's playing well.
Yeah.
But it's not somebody that I feel like an overwhelming need to sign up right this moment.
Well, to be clear, if they gave him a contract that was commensurate with Minkah Fitzpatrick or any of those other names you just rattled off there, I would say that's a really poor job by Nick Caserio. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, that's, yeah, price matters in this whole thing.
Yeah, but I guess I think he's, so far, he's just kind of been an average safety in the NFL. He's had impressive stretches, and I guess maybe I'm letting last year affect my judgment too much.
Well, I could be letting the first 2 years affect my judgment too much. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. It's because he does some things really well, but he doesn't have the overwhelming athleticism that makes me feel like, oh, okay, wow, so last year was really just an exception, and he should bounce back to where he was before. I need to see more consistency. I mean, one thing that does happen with Justin Reed a little bit, too, is I think the linebackers kind of screw him over sometimes in pass coverage. And sometimes you want to blame the safeties for some of the passes that happen in front of them, where it's because the Texans linebackers have been really bad at getting the proper depth in their coverage, and it makes the job tougher on them. So I would love for Justin Reed to just look awesome for the first five or six games, and they reward him with an in-season extension.
How does his role change from the previous style of defense to Lovie Smith's scheme, do you think?
There will be, theoretically, he'll have opportunities to be more opportunistic. That if they're playing more zone and he's able to, and this is key, as long as the cornerbacks are doing their job well, then in a Lovie Smith type scheme, the safeties have their eyes on the quarterback and they're able to kind of just read and assess the coverage and the pass patterns and figure out where the plays on the ball are going to be. Yeah. So that's where I think he's going to be a really good fit with this system. And if you think about the old school Tampa 2 schemes, you think about like John Lynch coming over the middle and laying the wood on people and just really intimidating people over the middle. You're not allowed to do what those old school safeties did anymore, but Justin Reed does a really good job of doing the things you are allowed to do. Like he makes really nice hits in a legal fashion. He keeps his head out of it. He leads with his shoulder. He doesn't launch. He does all that stuff. So I think he could end up having a really good season in this system and look really good in this system. But I just, we just got to see it first, like with all these guys. I don't think nobody on this team right now has played so well that you think, oh, well, we got to have him to not be a four-win football team this year.
Are you surprised that 66% of 1,100 people who voted in Rivers' poll here want them to give an extension to Justin Reed?
Well, you kind of did a what was the poll? It was just, who do you want, one of these three guys or none of the above?
Well, here I'll read it verbatim. Which 2018 drafted Texans player would you most want to negotiate a contract extension with before the season starts? Rivers also asked for replies, bonus, why that player. I'm not going to read the replies, obviously,
right, right.
But the poll, Justin Reed, Jordan Akins, Kiki QT, and then a fourth choice is none/results only.
Yeah. See, I think when you say it's not like those people answering that poll are saying, oh, hell yeah, it's got to be Justin Reed. They're asked, like, okay, which of these or none at all.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's that many people that are resoundingly saying, like, well, you got to sign Justin Reed.
Okay.
I hope that by October or November you're saying, well, you got to re-sign Justin Reed. But, I mean, everything that Caserio has been talking about and preaching has been about proving it and competing and creating genuine competition. And I don't think rewarding a guy who just had a disappointing season with an extension is the way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, that feels like Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby stuff.
Yep.
I want a Nick Caserio run joint here.
So Nick Casario's only to do before the season now is basically just to pick which 53 out of this 90 they have in camp are going to be the guy. Like, Bill O'Brien and whoever the general manager has been the last few years have always had at least one or two contractual to-dos to check off, whether it's been Deshaun Watson last year, Zach Cunningham got an extension done last year. There have been other extensions that got done. You know, Whitney Mercilus got his deal renegotiated and extended. It sounds like, Seth, the Nick Caserio has zero contractual to-dos before this. Maybe the to-dos are to look at the waiver wire each week, but as far as big picture to-dos with the guys here, it's just, man, go compete and go get a job. There's nobody that we need to look at giving an extension to right now.
Let's see. Brian Gain had, he was worried about re-signing DJ Reader. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen.
Yep.
Potentially would have wanted to sign Tyrann Mathieu.
Yep.
That didn't happen.
Yep.
So the to-do list wasn't all that successful, I suppose.
Right, right.
Of course, now let's see. Well, Bill O'Brien let DJ Reader go. That was the right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, some would argue Bill O'Brien's to-do list, even though he got his to-dos checked off, were not that successful. You know, like,
yeah.
Got Whitney extended. Check. Not to pick on Whitney, but like, that's not a good contract. You know what I mean?
Got Deshaun Watson. I can imagine, like,
Nick
Bill
Martin
O'Brien
extended. Done.
Yeah. You know, sometimes the no trade clause it's confusing and a lot of people don't quite understand it. We have a lot of fans coming to us and thinking that a no trade clause means that a team's, basically they think it's more of a team benefit than a player benefit,
right,
when it's actually a player benefit. I could see Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien granting the no trade clause and then realizing afterwards, oh, wait a second. You mean that gives more power to Deshaun? Crap. Oh, I didn't know that. I thought that meant that we got to say that
we're not trading you.
Couldn't deny a trade. Yeah.
Well,
damn it.
Yeah, they can. They don't have to trade him, but it comes with consequences. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you, Sports Radio 610. You've got a chance in about 17 minutes or so to win a grand. We're going to put a grand in your hand in about 17 minutes, or at least a chance to. It's a nationwide contest. We've had one winner on this show. It's hard to get winners. We got one on this show. We want you to be the second one. We want to make it impossible for the other shows to catch us. So be listening at 8:45 for the code word. Did you like how the code word was cake again when we had McLean on yesterday, by the way, Seth?
Yeah.
It's the second time that's happened. I feel like the people putting this contest together are trolling John McLean.
I'd like that because that means they're showing favoritism to Houston. Mm-hmm. That's why that's why this show has a winner, Gerald.
True.
Yep.
Yep. Exactly, John. Hot take right there from John McLean on cake. That was the code word yesterday. We're not going to give you the code word yet, but be listening at 8:45. You got a chance to put a grand in your hand. All right, Seth. You asked me an interesting question off the air the other day. How long will it take Sixers fans to say the same things people would say here about Daryl Morey? My answer to Seth was a whole lot shorter time than it took here. We got the proof yesterday in Daryl Morey's exit press conference. You'll hear it next. All right, Seth, you asked me an interesting question the other day off the air, and I thought this would be a good idea to talk about on the air, because Daryl Morey is somebody that I think Houston sports fans still have some sort of feelings about, whether you love Daryl as a GM of the Rockets, whether you thought he... it was time for him to go, whether you thought he stuck around too long. There was a lot of In Morey We Trust still out there. There's no doubt Daryl's really good at his job. He's in Philly now, which is a different environment than Houston, Texas. And the question you asked me, Seth, was how long will it take Sixers fans to say the same things people would say here about Daryl Morey? And I guess we should lay out, like, what are the things that people were saying here about Daryl Morey that you're, you know, kind of referring to there, just to lay the groundwork before we hear from Daryl here in just a second.
Oh, just that, man, you know, well, for one, let's see. forever in Houston. It was that they couldn't take that next step in the playoffs.
Yep.
Makes a lot of moves, and but doesn't have a championship to show for it. Does he trade too much and to where it ends up actually sabotaging their own chances? All that. So, you know, yep. The old classics, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, Maury was an interesting one because there was a likability about him.
An accessibility about him, too.
Yeah, there was an accessibility, which I think curried favor in the media. It maybe made media members more biased than they should have been.
Yep.
And yet they also had very, very competitive basketball teams. I, for one, don't ever believe that your standard should be, well, if you don't win a championship, then you're a horrible GM. Because there's only one team there can be multiple good GMs out there, and only one of them is going to win the championship. But I did think, man, if he had the same experience in Philly that he had here, people up there probably would have lost their patience more quickly and been more voluble about it than they were here.
Yeah, and unlike here, though, he inherited a team that had Tracy McGrady and Yao Ming, who were both injured all the time, so everybody gave Daryl a pass for that. And then he was able to rebuild the team, and everybody loved Daryl for that. It did reach a point after several years, though, with James Harden, especially as much as Daryl took up for James Harden in the wake of some really bad playoff performances, at least in elimination games, that it fatigued Rocket fans for sure. He's inheriting kind of a situation like that now in Philly. There's no buildup of, hey, I built this team and I was here for 4 years and this guy's injured. He has a situation now, Seth, with Ben Simmons that does have some similarities to his situation here with James Harden. It's a star player who put up a really poor performance in a series where a lot of people thought they should win. They were set up to win that series. And now the question becomes, what is your commitment level to that star player? So as you listen to these questions from Philadelphia media, the answer is, how long did it take? It took one season for him to start getting a lot of the same questions, at least, from the Philadelphia media about Ben Simmons that he was getting about James Harden. The difference is the Philadelphia media does not play around. They were pressing Daryl. Let's start here with the question, is there a commitment to keeping Ben Simmons?
Is there a commitment to him being on this roster next season?
We're committed to this group. Look, this was a really good group that played at a very high level. I obviously, part of my job is to self-reflect, you know, read what others are reading because you can learn from that. And, you know, a lot of what I'm reading, I frankly don't understand, you know, people saying the Sixers are in a bad situation. You know, I don't choose to come here. Doc doesn't choose to come here if this is a bad situation. I mean, really 25 or 26 teams in this league would love to be in our situation with an MVP caliber, top player, an all-star, a near all-star, great young players who are signed for the long term, good veterans. So we've got a good foundation. We just have to do better. I have to do better. Everyone has to do better.
Wait, Sean, so what you did there was you took the Philly question and then you took a press conference from 2018 for the Rockets and played the response?
I wish I had the ability to do that, Seth. But no, Daryl did it himself.
That sounded exactly.
Dude.
That was 100%. That could have been one of dozens of answers to questions when he was with the Rockets.
I saw your face. You heard it the same moment in that answer that I did when he brought up the number of teams that would trade places with the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah.
We have 25 or 26 teams in the league that would trade places with us. In other words, hey, we're putting ourselves in the mix, you know?
Yeah. There is, and this is the one thing I've always wondered about Daryl Morey teams. And not to pick on Daryl Morey, but just really any team that does well in the regular season but can't quite match up their regular season success with their playoff success. That there's just something that keeps them from getting over the hump. And I think sometimes it happens. Look, Sean, as a stat nerd myself, it pains me to say this. Mm-hmm. Sometimes stat nerds fall so in love with the actual numbers and attaining a certain percentage of three-point shots and attaining a certain ranking of defense in the regular season and what have you, that you start playing to the numbers more than you start playing to the actual opponents and defeating opponents. And I think there's something to be said for that. Like with the Rockets, whether you want to call it Maury ball or anything else, there's stuff that works really well in the regular season, but that when you face a really good team for seven games in a row, all of those things that stack up and look good statistically in the regular season kind of fall apart when you have to face a team seven times.
Adjustments, chess match, yeah. Things like that. Yeah,
you know, especially the Spurs versus the Rockets, it would be the ultimate because the Spurs were so smart. Yep. And the Spurs would get such a feel for, okay, you're either driving or you're going to hit a three, and we're going to get really good at closing out on those threes, yeah. You know, or packing the paint and then just jetting out to close out on the threes over the course of a seven-game series. It all adds up. So, yeah, I think that's why that sounded a little bit similar. When you hear, well, hey, 26 other teams would love to be where we are. All right, yeah, like is that the ultimate goal, is to be in the top 10% or the top 7%, and then that's good enough? I don't know.
Well, you know who's not accepting that answer? The media on this Zoom call in Philadelphia. You want to hear more? Because that did not satisfy them. Here is okay. A more direct question, because Daryl didn't answer the question. Is there a commitment to keeping Ben Simmons? He didn't use Ben's name. We're committed to this group, and everybody would trade places with us, and blah, blah, blah. Here is a more direct question about Ben Simmons.
Can you tell us that Ben Simmons will be a 76er next season?
I love your questions, Howard. I would say
I love them too, Daryl.
We have a very strong group we believe in. There's none of us can predict the future of what's going to happen in any place. We love what Ben brings. We love what Joel brings. We love what Tobias brings. In terms of what's next, we're going to do what's best for the 76ers to give us the best chance to win the championship with every single player on the roster.
Okay, so that was – I think Howard was Howard Eskin, I'm pretty sure,
yeah.
who asked that question.
Yeah, he's a Philadelphia radio –
radio
legend.
Host. His son Spike is about to be the PD at WFAN in New York, so he's been in Philly forever, Howard Eskin. So he asked the direct question, can you tell us Ben Simmons is going to be on the roster next year? Daryl gets dodgy with that question. Okay,
what's he gonna do there, though?
Well, I got one more.
Okay,
I'm just telling you, it wasn't good enough for them.
Oh, okay.
So here comes another attempt to get clarity on the Ben Simmons situation.
So the only thing I'm trying to ask is, will you look at the value of Ben Simmons as well as any other player on this basketball team to improve the 76ers?
So you just defined the job of a general manager, which is to assess everything, assess every player on the roster, figure out what is best to do with them to help us win the championship. So, yes, I'm going to operate as the general manager of the 76ers. And I appreciate you defining my job description.
Feels like a marriage made in heaven to me, Seth.
I don't think – Daryl doesn't mind that stuff, though, too. Like, the Rockets have been – a pretty sensitive organization in general. Mm-hmm. Not that I have a bunch of dealings with them, but I know just people in general. The Rockets have had a tendency to get kind of sensitive about stuff, I suppose. And I think Maury does. Maury has his antenna up, and he hears the criticisms.
One of the answers, he reads stuff all the time.
Yeah. But at the same time, I feel like even though it bothers him, I think he's kind of got that argumentative, stat nerdy side of him where mm-hmm. it doesn't bother him the way it might bother a normal person. So when he gets testy like that, I think he is genuinely having a little bit of fun with it. And it is, I mean, what he said is true. I mean, he was asked a question basically like, hey, are you going to evaluate the value of all of your players? Like, yeah, that's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do. And that was kind of the answer that he had given before.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to be happy until they hear him say, like, yeah, we're going to try to trade Ben Simmons, which, by the way, we're going to get much less for him now than if we had done it at the trade deadline.
Right, right. No, then when I say he got dodgy with it, Seth, I didn't expect Daryl to address Ben Simmons directly. Yeah. Like, I didn't expect him to invoke Ben Simmons' name, because I did say at one point in between one of those answers that Daryl got a little dodgy with the answers, and I think you were taking up for Daryl a little bit there. This is what I wonder. When I say he didn't mention Ben Simmons' name in response to any of the very direct questions from the media, like, they were pelting him with questions about Ben Simmons, and he would not say the name Ben Simmons. I will remind people that just weeks before he traded Chris Paul, he had this exchange on the Dan Patrick Show.
Is everybody available on the roster?
No.
Who's not available?
Chris and James.
Chris Paul is
so
not available.
We have five guys, so it's not hard. So we only have five guys signed to long-term deals of our rotation. So we got some good young guys that have longer deals.
Yeah, I was just wondering if the Lakers called and all of a sudden said, hey, you know what? Is Chris available? But you're saying that no matter what anybody offers, anybody calls, that Chris Paul and James Harden will be in the backcourt next season.
I mean, again, we were the best team down the stretch. We spent a lot of time putting together two superstars. We're trying to add a third. Going backwards from that doesn't make a lot of sense for us.
All right, so there you go.
And then how many weeks later did they trade Chris Paul?
That was in that Dan Patrick clip was in June, sometime in mid-June 2019.
Yeah.
Leading up to the draft, they traded Chris Paul. They traded Chris Paul while I was on vacation in early July. So it was weeks. It was like maybe 3 weeks later they traded Chris Paul.
And at that point, I mean, they'd already had their conversations. Chris Paul did a really good job of Chris Paul, ultimately it was to benefit himself personally as well, but he handled it about as professionally as you could. Yeah. For a guy that was leaving because things were apparently just so dysfunctional, they kept up that ruse really well. So what do you say, though? He's giving an adamant – Sean, are you basically saying that you just can't trust anything Daryl Morey says publicly?
I'm saying maybe Daryl's learned a lesson from what happened with Chris Paul a couple of years ago.
You shouldn't even mention it by name. Yeah. That's true.
You know, if anything, it makes it harder on whoever's employing you. Like when you go into free agency, that was always a big thing for the Rockets that, man, I'm a little nervous about signing there because I don't know if I'm going to be the next chess piece to get moved out of there.
I wonder with Ben Simmons, as they're looking at it, are they wondering, all right, is this something a sports psychologist can fix? Like, what is it here? It's one thing to be frazzled or not have confidence in your shot, but to just completely lose it that much and to lose all manner of aggression, maybe they're looking at it as, all right, there's obvious upside here, and there's the guy was willing to play good defense at least. What do we need to do here? Like, let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. Let's try to fix this. And maybe that's where they are right now, is trying to assess exactly where he'll be.
There's a ton of people on the text page saying things like, thanks, Sean, I needed that $1,000.
Now my family will starve.
Yeah. Now there's other people saying Shadow is working. Okay, text Shadow and Band to 72881.
Sean, I'm pretty sure that you're the victim here. I think that you obviously were given bad information somewhere along the line.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. You know, 72881 is where you text Shadow or Band. At this point, you know, text every word in the English language to 72881. Do what you need to do. It's powered by BetQL, BETQL. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. The Astros, they are the best team in baseball right now, but could Dusty Baker's old school ways end up hurting the Astros down the line? We'll explain next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.